This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Congress goes back into session this week, and Wednesday night, Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson will be the center of attention. President Obama called Isaacson recently and asked him to put together a group of 12 Republican senators for a private dinner. The president had met with a different group of GOP senators a month ago. Earlier today, after Isaacson spoke at an event supporting Georgia's Free File program for low-income taxpayers, I spent a few minutes with the senator for a quick survey of the big list of issues awaiting Congress. We began with Wednesday night's dinner with the president. Did the president call you? Did you call him? This is the second dinner he's having with the Republicans.
The president called me about 3 weeks ago and asked me if I'd be willing to put together a group of 12 Republicans in the Senate to have dinner with him and just have a freewheeling, off-the-record discussion about debt, deficit, reform, entitlements, the problems that face our country, and I told him I'd be happy to do it, so I'm looking forward to the dinner.
Do you come in with a set of points you're going to make to him?
Well, it's an open forum. I mean, there's no set agenda. There's certain things I want to talk about, like entitlement reform and getting our debt and our deficit under control, but there'll be a lot of subjects on the table.
The president has already said, look, we have to do some sort of reasonable entitlement reform. Have you seen specifics, or do you have some that would indicate where you could start at least some sort of negotiation?
Well, his budget's going to be introduced on Wednesday. I've read some of the press reports, so to the degree that you can take that as factual, the president is willing to talk about entitlement reform with Medicare, going maybe to change CPI versus regular CPI for indexes for COLAs.
Cost of living adjustments. Yeah, CPI.
And not a cut in benefits, but a change in the calculation for increases in benefits. There are all these people talking about would be a benefit cut. No, we're trying to save the benefit is what we're trying to do, not cut anybody's benefit.
Has the White House put any restrictions on it at all? You said it was
none
an open
whatsoever.
Forum. You worked with the president in the Senate. What's your sense of whether he has been open to Congress? There have been a lot of complaints from your side of the aisle that he hasn't negotiated with Republicans. Is this someone that you can talk to?
I think it is, and I think what he's doing in this outreach is a good first step. We've got a long way to go. We haven't made any type of a deal yet, but a sincere effort to be able to have a frank discussion off the record with the President of the United States on the poignant issues of the day is a good step forward. Hopefully we can find some common ground.
So it's not just symbolism then?
I hope not. That'll be up to him. I mean, if nothing comes of it, then it may be up to us or up to him. But right now, I think this is a good first step.
There's gun legislation working its way through. Background checks appears to be the centerpiece of it. Are you open to that? And would there be other points that you would consider as well?
I'm not open to any ban of the Second Amendment right to buy arms or limitations on cartridges. We have a background check law in Georgia that prohibits felons from buying guns. There are talks about expanding it and using mental health. Those issues are important, but they also run into rights of privacy issues. So I'm going to have to see. You know, everybody's talking about this legislation conceptually. I want to see where the proof's in the pudding. I want to see what the details are.
But we do have background checks already right now, at least for gun sales through dealers. Is there any problem with extending that to private sales and gun shows?
As I said before, Dennis, I'll wait to see what the bill says before I start making comments hypothetically to the press.
Do you think, though, that there are some loopholes that could be addressed if the right solution were found? I mean, are there places where guns become available to people who probably shouldn't have them?
There may be.
Just to clarify, you said you were opposed to a ban. Does that include an assault weapons ban?
Yes. We did that in 1994 to 2004, and it didn't work. Columbine happened right in the middle of it. We've proven the inanimate object is not the problem. It's the animate object or the human being that goes astray that's the object. That's what we got to focus on is mental health and things like that.
If there's a filibuster, though, would you support that?
Again, the bill's not even written yet, Dennis, so you're asking me hypothetical questions I really can't answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about the technique rather than the legislation. I mean, is a filibuster
the
way?
In the Senate, all techniques are possible, but again, it depends on what the legislation is.
Looking at immigration, is a guest worker program the way to find a solution here? And if so, what would be the devil in the details there?
Well, we don't have enough time to answer that question. It's a comprehensive problem that begins with securing the border first. In Georgia, the guest worker program is a huge issue. I've just returned from a 7-day swing in South Georgia. The onions are getting ready to be pulled. The peanuts are getting ready to be planted. Cotton's getting ready to be planted. Harvesting our crops in Georgia, guest worker program, one that works, is really important to Georgia farmers. In Atlanta, H-1B for high-skilled workers and technology is important. A biometrically secure ID, which is something I really promote, which in the end is the best solution to preventing illegal immigration. But once again, what's been talked about is all conceptual. I want to see what the details are on print before I decide what I'm going to do.
Part of the problem for some people with guest worker program or path to citizenship is, on the one hand, if you make it so folks who are here illegally can get some sort of legal status, then folks are afraid that they are condoning folks who broke the law. On the other, if a guest worker program is too vague, then workers can simply be exploited. So where's the balance here?
Well, the public's not going to stand for amnesty, number one. Number two, if someone's here illegally, they're going to have to acknowledge that. There's going to have to be some type of a sanction because of that. As to whether they get a legal permit to work here is another question, but a legal permit to work is not necessarily a pathway to citizenship. I think the main thing Georgia citizens don't want is to repeat what Ronald Reagan did in 1984, and that's grant amnesty to 3 million people, promising you're going to secure the border and then not securing the border. They want the border secure.
But can you deport the 11 million or whatever number one believes are here?
You can do anything that Congress collectively puts its mind to, but the first thing you got to do is identification. Second thing, there has to be a goal for those people to be identified. Third, you have to deal with the realities of life. And fourth, we have to be able to afford securing the border. So there are a lot of different components to that question.
North Korea, are you concerned that the activity that we've seen is actually the beginning of preparations for a nuclear test? And how does the U.S. respond to a situation where we're not even sure why these actions are taking place?
Well, Kim Jong-un is an unknown quantity right now. His father was pretty well known for rattling the saber in return for relief on sanctions or some type of financial benefit. This man is not well known. We learned in 9/11/2001 that people with a fervor and a passion and a hatred of freedom and democracy are capable of doing anything. And you have to assume he's capable of doing anything with the resources he has, which is enough plutonium to make what we think are 6 warheads. So being prepared is obviously what the United States has got to do. And I commend the president on the deployment of missiles in Alaska and Guam, the flyover from Whiteman Air Force Base of the B-2s over South Korea, just to send the signal, we're ready. If you try something, there's going to be a heavy price to pay.
How concerned are you, though, that South Korea might take some action first if it feels that something's coming?
Well, you've preempted, and when you talk about nuclear armament and nuclear warheads, preemption's fine, because once it's gone off, it's too late. So I don't limit anybody's ability to preempt a strike.
Senator Johnny Isakson, thanks very much again. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Dennis. Take care.